the Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's one Jeff Sammet looking as handsome as usual. My name is George Russick. Straight ahead on the show.
Yeah.
I just had a chocolate toasted coconut donut, so I'm flying. I'm good till noon.
You do eat horribly.
I do.
Straight ahead on the show, the Kevin Love trade involves only one Canadian.
Huh?
And a movie you're definitely going to want to see. Like, when you hear the stars of this movie, you're gonna get in line now to see this movie.
Oh, yeah. This movie has star power, and you're going to love the plot. George, specifically, you are going to love the plot.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. Just as I am excited to bring on our next guest, Sportsnet hockey analyst John Shannon joined us on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim Lywicki departs. Not too surprisingly, thanks to Elliot Friedman yesterday for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. John, Jeff and I were discussing this, and do you think Brendan Shanahan had any inkling whatsoever that Lywicki was on his way out? And if he did, do you think that would have affected his decision to come on as the president of the Leafs?
You know, it's all speculation at this point, but one would suspect, no, that he didn't have any idea that Lywicki was here for the short term. And quite frankly, I think with knowing Brendan and knowing what his ambition was to run a hockey club, I don't think that Lywicki saying if he did say I was leaving in 12 months, it would make a difference anyway.
Yeah, the hazard guess to say you're absolutely right about that, John. But, you know, there's a lot of people that in hearing the news, I'll say, yeah, it doesn't come as a surprise. Everybody expected Tim Lywicki to come in for a couple of years, right the ship, and then move on. Wouldn't you think Brendan Shanahan would be amongst those that wouldn't be surprised? Do you think that, you know, being in the league, that he'd be in the know?
Well, you know, I'm not sure of that, Jeff. I think that there's only two guys that can answer that question. That's Brendan and Tim. And you know, quite frankly, Brendan's got a learning curve. I mean, I know that he's been at the NHL for 5 years. I know he was an active member of the Players Association. But running a National Hockey League team is a different animal. And I think he's got his hands full now doing that. So it's one of those situations where you have Lywicki on his agenda, you have Shanahan on his agenda, and you hope the two mesh, and in the end, you hope they it's what the fans want to accomplish, and that's for the Maple Leafs to be a contender and a champion.
John, should he feel threatened in any way, shape, or form, Brendan Shanahan, of the new, whoever that is, male or female, coming to run in MLSE? Should he feel threatened at all, or could the new CEO of MLSE go, yeah, I want to pick my own guys? Do you think that's even on the table, or could be a possibility down the road in the near future?
George, I tell you what, you've thrown a wrench into it if that's the case. I mean, I mean, how many restarts does this team get?
Yeah.
How many restarts can the fans accept? I guess my first answer is that Brendan Shanahan is the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, not just president of hockey operations, but he's president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Whoever comes in as CEO of MLSE, in the long term, in the short term, I would suspect would try to give Brendan an opportunity to prove why he's the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm. Because what you do by doing that as the CEO is you buy yourself time. You buy yourself time to learn the organization. You buy yourself time to understand what this market is like if in fact you don't already know. And then at a certain point, if the team's not winning, you also have the built-in scapegoat of the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you can get rid of him. But so I guess my answer in the immediate, if you're the CEO of MLSE, you're not doing anything drastic. You know, I mean, that to me is would be the wise move. The other thing I got told last night, guys, was that Masai Ujiri and Lywicki are so connected. Yeah, is that a bigger story? Is Masai the one that's going to be more threatened in the new world, or more importantly, feel a loyalty to go wherever Lywicki ends up?
Well, and I guess that's the next thing. Where does Lywicki end up? And you had said on Twitter that you're hearing that both MSG, NBC, Comcast have have interest, serious interest in Leiweke.
That's what I've been told by multiple sources, is that MSG, you got to understand that Madison Square Garden is more than just the Rangers and the Knicks and the building. What they have become is they want to become a much bigger player in the world of entertainment, a much bigger player in concert promotion, which, by the way, AEG was. AEG was in arena management. And what has happened the last 2 years in Los Angeles is Madison Square Garden has bought the old Great Western Forum, used a Toronto architecture company, BBB, to renovate the place, and it's now open as a concert hall in suburban Los Angeles. So there's that to be said, that perhaps Jim Dolan, who owns MSG, is trying to woo Tim Leiweke in order to make him head of what I would describe as the entertainment arm. The other thing is that in the politics of New York sports, Dolan's number two guy, a guy named Hank Ratner, disappeared. He resigned not too long ago, and I think that MSG is looking for someone of that ilk to run their organization.
Sports and hockey analyst John Shannon here on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Rusick. John, the name Wayne Gretzky was tossed about yesterday as a potential successor. And that's why I laugh too. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that Wayne Gretzky takes his job, is there?
Listen, this is not a this is not a sports job.
Right.
This is a business job.
Right.
This is a billion-dollar, closing in on $2 billion corporation that requires a lot more attention to the P&L, a lot more attention to customer service than it does to worrying about who plays the games, how the game is played, who's on waivers, who's not, who's signed to contracts. This is a job for what I would describe as a multifaceted businessman. Sure, he can have a little bit of a sports background, but this is much more complex than that in understanding how to run a multifaceted business.
John, you also mentioned on Twitter that you wouldn't be surprised if Larry Tannenbaum takes on more of a hands-on role with the company.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that I was told was that Larry is looking at the situation as the chairman, being much more active within the organization, whether that means the new CEO has a lesser role than the board had given to him. Let's remember, this board basically gave Leiweke the keys to the castle. I'm not sure people will endorse what he's done so far to say that this organization is in fantastic shape. I mean, the hockey team is in a bit of flux. The basketball team has outperformed everybody's expectation. And the soccer team's never going to make a penny. It may make the playoffs, but it's never going to make a penny. So I don't think that this organization is as in good a shape as everybody thinks it is because Tim Leiweke had the Midas touch.
John, from a standpoint of a Maple Leaf fan, though, if the board does regain all this power, isn't that status quo to what we've seen with the Maple Leafs from years past?
Yeah, well, George, absolutely. And that's, years past, if you read history books about this organization, in 1947, they talked about the group of seven running the team into the ground. Guys who are great businessmen sticking their noses into what they think is important about the hockey world. It really is important to find and to believe in someone who's in charge of the Maple Leafs to be able to run the Maple Leafs without any obstacle from the board. And at this point, I think there's a lot of people that are crossing the fingers that is Brendan Shanahan. But Shanahan's learning curve is huge right now. And he's going to have to start surrounding himself with a lot more people that will allow this team to grow. And whether that's Dave Nonis, we all know that Dave Nonis wasn't involved in the hiring of the assistant coaches. We know he wasn't involved in the hiring of his new capologist. So there are issues in all of this that Dave Nonis, it could be a valuable resource to Brendan Shanahan. Let's just hope he uses them.
John, we felt and we heard all this optimism from Maple Leaf fans when Tim Leiweke was brought on. We heard the jokes of how he's already planned the parade route for the Stanley Cup championship. If I'm a Maple Leaf fan, after yesterday's news, should I be more optimistic or pessimistic about the Maple Leafs and their future now that he's going on his way out the door?
Well, let's put it this way. I think it's status quo. And the only reason I say that is that Tim Leiweke was never going to help you draft a player. Tim Leiweke was never going to help you trade for a player. Tim Leiweke may have helped you with a free agent. For what he's done in the short term, I'm not sure that this organization wouldn't have been in better shape without Tim Leiweke here. I'm talking about the Maple Leafs without Tim Leiweke here and some stability and some confidence in guys like Nonis and guys like Randy Carlyle.
Do you think that there's a danger that the projects that Tim Leiweke have that are ongoing and looking ahead at grabbing an NBA All-Star game, an NHL All-Star game, the construction or reconstruction of BMO Field and the developments they have there. Do you think there's a danger that with Leiweke gone, that those pursuits, maybe not bailed on, but altered in some way? Do you think there's a danger of that happening? Or was Leiweke carrying out a vision that MLSE had? So maybe those were ideas that MLSE had and not necessarily Tim Leiweke.
I tell you what, Jeff, I worked at MLSE for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about all-star games for the NBA dating back to 2009, 2000, and could we bid for the 2011 game? You know, you have to give people like Richard Petty and Tom Anselmi a little bit of credit for having some vision long-term and putting bids in it all the time. And the cycle of cities within the NBA that deserve NBA all-star games. And it was Toronto's time. I can't speak for who generated the bid for Toronto and the NBA All-Star Game, but you can rest assured they were thinking about it long before Tim Leiweke showed up. As far as the All-Star Game for the NHL, it has been the NHL's dream to have the All-Star Game in Toronto in 2017. To be part of the 100th anniversary of the National Hockey League. So, Tim Leiweke is a highly driven, intelligent, motivated businessman. But, you know, just because he showed up, don't give him credit for things that have been on the board for a long, long time. The BMO Field expansion is fully on Leiweke. And whether the city and MLSE still has the appetite to do that, that's a question I guess will be answered in the next little while. The long-term stuff, the long-term bidding process, there are some quality people within MLSE, guys like Bob Hunter and Ian Clark, that have been working on projects for a long, long time.
John, the conspiracy theory was floated out there yesterday that maybe Mark Cohan, his resignation coincides with Tim Leiweke leaving and that he could be a candidate to take over this job. Could Mark Cohan be the next CEO of MLSE?
Nothing would surprise me now.
Mm.
Mark's a competent guy. Mark's a great face. Mark's Canadian. Mark has done some strong things over the last few years in the Canadian Football League. And he has a pedigree within the business world with his father, George, being the driving force behind McDonald's in this country, that would say that Mark Cohan deserves an opportunity to at least be looked at. So I think if you're creating a short list, I think you'd have to put Mark Cohan on the list.
Sportsnet's John Shannon. Always a pleasure, John. A lot of great insight. Thank you so much for this.
Have a great day and enjoy the weekend, boys.
Absolutely will. Thank you to Sportsnet's John Shannon.
What not Wayne Gretzky? And that name was floated around yesterday. Come on, people.
If there is an opening to sell nachos part-time at the ACC, we hear Wayne Gretzky's name mentioned. Every job opening, as far as Toronto's concerned, with the Maple Leafs, under the Maple Leafs MLSC's umbrella. Wayne Gretzky's name always gets mentioned. I'm sure Wayne Gretzky doesn't even know about this rumor. I don't buy that for a second.
Do you think he'll ever work for the Leafs? What's your gut telling you?
Well, that's hard to say. I'd like to think that that day would come just because that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
From around here, Brantford, obviously. I don't know. I mean, you know what? If he's not on the ice in his prime, well, what do I care?
They could have had him.
I mean, it would be nice, I suppose, to have his presence, have a great hockey mind. I don't see how it could hurt. But if he comes in and he's looking for the kind of power that perhaps he shouldn't have, that extends beyond his hockey knowledge,
yeah.
I suppose that could be a problem. But if he stays within the realm of that, I don't see how that could hurt. But we've been talking about that for a decade.
And I think his coaching job with the Coyotes is kind of maybe tarnished a little bit of the way Wayne Gretzky's perceived by fans, at least, maybe not in the hockey world, but that he didn't do a that great of a job as a head coach of the Coyotes.
Well, see,
but don't forget,
it's also
he was
the
architect of the 0-2 gold medal winning team,
yeah,
in Salt Lake.
See, and the head coaching thing, that comes with a job. You're hired to be fired. There's a
right.
shelf life, unless you're Barry Trotz in Nashville, and obviously that came to an end.
Lindy Ruff.
Lindy Ruff as well. There are very few head coaches that last a really long time in one place. So it's kind of like you get a job, you're hired to be fired. And Wayne Gretzky was sort of this untouchable. There's, you can't say anything bad or do anything wrong with Wayne Gretzky. He can do no wrong. And then he's in a position where he's going to get fired eventually. I'm not saying that he did such a great job that it doesn't matter, he would have got fired eventually. But it's a job that you expect him to eventually be replaced in. And he didn't win a Stanley Cup there or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it also comes with the territory that all of a sudden he can be gotten to with a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see a great player walk away and the legend just grows. And then when you're in the public eye a little bit more and you've got a job like that, you're in the media a lot, I think that gets tainted just a little bit. And now we're far removed from that time where he was behind the bench with the Coyotes. And, you know, the legend continues to grow as far as his playing career is concerned. I'm not saying that that is something that can necessarily be tainted. But I could see how you would remember him a little bit differently given his experience with the Coyotes. I can see how that would happen.
It's 10:19 on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick. Straight ahead on the show, we're going to hear from John Molinaro, soccer writer for Sportsnet.ca. Preview the action from the English Premier League. Toronto FC and the Chicago Fire. And Mario Balotelli on his way back to the Premier League.
I want to see what John thinks as well about Lywicki and his departure and what that effect is going to be on the Toronto FC.
Because if there's a team that's benefited from Tim Lywicki coming here, it's TFC.
Probably, you know, more than anybody else.
That Kevin Love deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's finally going down tonight. It's going to be official.
What do you call it, the Kevin Love deal or the Andrew Wiggins deal?
It's the Kevin Love deal for now. Or maybe because we're in Toronto, it should be the Andrew Wiggins deal.
I think of it as the Andrew Wiggins
deal. And we heard that Anthony Bennett was apparently supposed to be included in that deal, but all of a sudden, not so fast.
Yeah, the T-Wolves likely keeping Bennett if they acquire the former number one overall pick as part of the proposed Love trade with the Cavs. That's coming out of the Minnesota Star Tribune. The T-Wolves still trying to get to Thaddeus Young from the 76ers, though they might be sending a couple of other players and a draft pick to get it done. So in the end, for Kevin Love, that might, from a Minnesota perspective, turn into Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and Thaddeus Young. I think he could have done a lot worse than that,
right?
In a trade for Kevin Love. Like, I'm always of the belief that if you've got a great player like that, and that hanging on to him as long as possible and try to get a bidding war going is what's going to be best. And I thought maybe keeping Kevin Love might have done that for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they wanted to trade him. I mean, they really didn't. They wanted to keep him. But knowing that they had to trade him, they wanted to trade him sooner rather than later. They did, and I think they got a very good haul. This might be one of those deals that's good for both sides.
Yeah.
But as much as you love the addition from a Cleveland perspective of Kevin Love to the Cavs and what he's going to do and how he's going to gel, one would think, with LeBron James and the rest of the cast there, I mean, the T-Wolves get to start over with Andrew Wiggins. That's pretty good for Kevin Love. I mean, we might be looking back on this. This is the kind of deal you might look back on in 5-10 years and see how it can be completely one-sided. And you look at, what if Kobe Bryant were in Charlotte? How the fortunes would have changed, obviously, for the Charlotte Hornets at that time and the LA Lakers after that in not having Kobe Bryant. This could be one of those moves that you look at and said it really did change the shape and the face of the NBA. It could be one of those deals.
Getting on the grassy knoll, is it better for the Toronto Raptors in a few years that Andrew Wiggins is playing in Minnesota?
Well, that Andrew Wiggins is not playing in the Eastern Conference, but how much would he have played anyway with LeBron James being there? But I know what you're getting at.
And
maybe he doesn't want to be in Minnesota and wants to come to Toronto. He figures you're not leaving some place that's really warm and exciting.
And don't forget, he'll have to be the man in Minnesota.
Right.
And he's going to have to play in the very, very tough Western Conference.
Yeah.
And he'll be hardened when he comes here to the Toronto Raptors, if in fact he does come. Huh. So you're getting a guy who will be, you know, battling in the rigors of the NBA's Western Conference, being the man with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think if he... If that pie in the sky reality comes to effect here in Toronto, maybe they're getting a fantastic player who's ready to turn, you know, the Raptors into a legit championship team.
Well, I mean, even Andrew Wiggins couldn't tell you what's going to happen in a few years, because he might go to Minnesota and absolutely love it. He might love it there. We don't know. So that could happen. And maybe he likes the opportunity of, you know, not having to play in front of the hometown crowd. I mean, I would hazard a guess to say that he would relish the opportunity if it was given to him, if he could make that choice. But even he doesn't know what he's going to do in a few years. He doesn't know what he's going to do in 10 minutes.
You know what I'm going to do in a few years? Watch Bruno Caboclo dominate for the Toronto Raptors?
Well, one would hope so.
We're talking about the potential, future in the distant future of the Toronto Raptors and one Andrew Wiggins, but it could be, you know, 2 years from being 2 years away for Bruno Caboclo, but he's really maybe interesting diet on the side of Bruno Caboclo.
Yeah, they're putting him on a diet because they're trying to have him gain weight.
Right, because he's a skinny dude.
Right, and I read a story that they want him to consume 6,000 calories per day.
That's almost
half of what I'm putting in right now. But 6,000 calories per day. Like... he could eat multiple Big Macs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and still not hit the 6,000 calorie mark. That's what they want him to do. That they want him to gain weight. Eat everything you can possibly get your hands on. So they want a much bigger, bigger Bruno.
How is that fair to some guys out there listening to this trying to drop some LBs? And you're hearing that Bruno Caboclo can crush 6,000 calories. He's encouraged
to
crush 6,000 calories.
Let them get drafted into the NBA.
Make sure you upsize those fries. Make sure you get the quadruple patty burger, because you got to put on all those pounds. When Michael Phelps was winning all those gold medals, he was consuming thousands and thousands of calories a day because he's got to keep his energy level up.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 calories, Sammet?
6,000 calories.
Like a donut is like 300 calories.
It's nearly
400 calories.
Nearly three times the recommended 2,000 calorie diet recommended by many food labels. So that's what they're trying to do. 6,000 calories to bulk up Caboclo.
Have you ever seen that Simpsons episode where Homer has to put on all that weight so he can go on workman's comp?
Oh, yeah, and he wears like a muumuu.
Right, and if you rub the food against the wall and it goes shiny and clear, eat it. That's pretty much what Bruno Caboclo is going to do right now.
That's what Caboclo is trying to do. Absolutely. So
it's just like when you hear actors as well, or they have to put on all this weight for a role. Or if you're like Christian Bale, you have to horribly lose like 70 pounds and look like you're on death's doorway for a role.
It was, what was that movie that Tom Hanks was in? You know, Wilson?
Big?
No.
Big?
Big. You know,
Captain
Wilson.
Phillips?
Castaway.
Captain. No,
Castaway?
Stop it. Why do you got to ruin my game?
Castaway. Well,
don't tell him what it is, because I wanted to name every other Tom Hanks movie but the movie he was thinking. I knew right away it was Castaway.
It was Splash.
I just wanted to name like 100 movies. It was Joe versus the Volcano. I wanted to name 100 movies that it wasn't the movie he was thinking of.
So in Castaway.
Don't tell him in his ear next time.
He had to be super skinny Oh, look how mad he is at the producers. Oh, my goodness.
Upset right now.
You just threw away the lineup. You don't, you have no idea what's coming up on the
show.
John
Molinaro coming up 10:40.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Right.
So in that movie, he had to gain a ton of weight, and he also had to lose a ton of weight. So imagine doing that, going to two extremes for one movie. That's why he's a multiple Oscar winner right there, Tom Hanks. Doesn't get any better than Tom Hanks. You want to sell movie tickets? You put Tom Hanks in a movie.
You know what? You're the king of Segway. Because there's a movie coming out.
Well, I didn't bring up movies. You did. So props to you.
One of my favorite, you know, actors of all time is going to star with somebody I watched growing up in my childhood.
Wait a minute. I don't know which one's which.
Well, he used to star in a TV show.
Which one's your favorite actor?
A talking car.
One of your favorite actors. Is that David Hasselhoff?
Of course it is. Who doesn't like David Hasselhoff?
There's also Hulk Hogan in this scenario, and he's done some acting. And he's done some acting. So there's going to be a movie that's coming out. Ken Jeong, he's in Community.
Okay.
He's in the Hangover movies.
Oh, okay.
Naked guy jumping out of the trunk.
Yeah.
So he's really funny. Actually, that guy's a doctor.
Get out of here.
He was a doctor, and he gave it up to be an actor. And he's hilarious. So he's going to star in this comedy for WWE Studios. I didn't know they had that. So you know what's going to be good.
Is John Cena in this movie too?
I don't know.
What other wrestlers are in this movie?
You got to think The Rock would be in it or something.
Well, he does a lot of movies.
Is he still with WWE? Is he still with them? Kind of hops in and out.
Do we still have the wrestling podcast? Do we ask those guys?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
What's it called again? Top Turnbuckle.
Who's on Sportsnet590.ca.
Jeff Holman's now. Jeff Holman's on it. And a bunch of other people.
All right. So anyway.
Okay. So Hulk Hogan and David Hasselhoff are going to be appearing in this movie. Now, here's the plot. The working title is Untitled Celebrity Death Pool.
Oh, no.
They haven't named the movie yet.
Bad karma.
Right. So they got, there's a guy, a struggling nightclub owner, after amassing a large debt from a loan shark, sets out to win a long-running celebrity death pool by attempting to kill David Hasselhoff. That's a great plot.
Wow.
That's a great plot.
Does he run into a tornado that has sharks in it?
No.
Oh.
Well, now you're being ridiculous. Now you're naming a movie that makes absolutely no sense. That's a terrible movie. Terrible idea for a movie. I didn't see the movie. A terrible idea for a movie. But isn't that great? You've never been in a death pool.
No, it's bad karma. I would never go in a death pool.
I was in a death pool.
No, it's bad karma. Forget that.
How so? I'm here. I'm fine.
You're a bad person.
I'm not a bad person.
You're a bad person. You are. If you go into a death pool, you're a bad person.
I'm not wishing ill will on
people who are celebrities. They have families.
I got news for you. People die. It happens.
Yeah, but I'm not betting and trying to guesstimate when they're doing. And if, in fact, they die, I'm not pumping my fist because I just won my death pool.
I don't pump my fist.
Oh, sweet. Robin Williams just died. That got me a lot of points.
That would get you 37. I'm not in it right now.
That's the worst.
I'm not in it right now, but I was in one many, many years ago.
It's bad karma.
Well, I'm here with you, so I guess it is.
I love the backhanded compliment. It's no, the Cadillac of all compliments. Yes, it is. You just gave me a backhanded compliment.
There was no compliment in there whatsoever.
Okay, fine.
And I think you have quite an ego to think that it would be some kind of a compliment in that.
Okay, fine.
There was nothing even close to a compliment. You do many things well. That was not a compliment. Maybe the thing you don't do well is read a compliment well. Or read a compliment, because that was not one.
Was it Tom Hanks movie, Turner and Hooch?
Turner and Hooch, yeah.
Straight ahead on the show, we're going to hear from John.
Oh, wait, I'd be Hooch? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I don't like that the guys just blew that for me right away. Like, I wanted you to struggle like a fish out of water, not knowing Castaway, and I wanted to name like 10 Tom Hanks movies by the time you name Castaway.
You think I have a problem with trying to figure out what Tom Hanks movies that I'm talking about? I would name every Tom Hanks. I would keep the audience waiting for 5 minutes while I would guess it. I think I care. I would just keep guessing.
It wouldn't be 5 minutes.
We'd be here all day. Baseball Central would be delayed if I didn't think of the Tom Hanks movie. Everybody would just have to wait. That's how I roll.
John Molinaro, soccer writer for Sportsnet.ca, is going to join us straight ahead. Preview the weekend's action in the English Premier League. Talk some Toronto FC. What does Tim Leiweke's departure mean for the Toronto FC, as you like to say? Mm. And Mario Balotelli changing addresses again. That's all straight ahead on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything.
It's 10:40, it's the Jeff Blair Show, it's Jeff Salmon and George Russick. Straight ahead on the show, we're going to give away some Blue Jays tickets. We have a pair of Blue Jays tickets in front of the line, access to meet Dwayne Ward and Rance Mullinix for tonight's game. I'm going to ask you a trivia question and open up the phone lines to you. Not right now. So don't call in now.
We're going to ask you a trivia question next hour. You got to get it right.
I lobbied hard for a Saved by the Bell question, but Jeff just shot me down.
Come on, it makes no sense. Wouldn't it be great, though, if we were like the first person to get it wrong? 416-870. Like, wouldn't that be something different? Everybody's like, first person to answer correctly.
And no Googling. Wrongly? If we hear you Google or tap your phone, we're dropping you right away.
We're not going to ask the question and have you call in. You're going to have to call in.
Yeah.
Like 11:25, you're going to have to call in, be on the line.
Right. Jump on the air.
Then we're going to get you on the phone, and we're going to ask you the question.
Right.
That's how we're going to do's it. So ideally, I guess you do want to be the first person because you get first crack at it, but maybe you want to be like the second or third so that if they get it wrong. By process of elimination, surely you'll get it right at that point. It'll have something to do with the Toronto Blue Jays.
And it's a big game tonight, by the way, down at Rogers Centre.
They all are.
The opener of a 9-game homestand. You'll hear right here on Sportsnet 590 Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet. Marcus Stroman gets a start for the Rays against Drew Smyly. 7 o'clock, first pitch.
He's not really smiling that much in his profile picture. He's got a closed mouth.
It should be
smile.
Drew smirking.
Yeah, Drew half smile, half smiley. That's not a bad return for David Price.
You think?
He's done all right for himself.
But when you heard originally that trade, didn't you think that's it? We heard all
is that David Price.
This king's ransom of what David Price is going to fetch, and all of a sudden, that's it?
He's not David Price, but he's had a couple of very good starts. He's 7-10 overall with a 3.66 ERA, but he's had a couple of good starts in a row. He allowed 2 runs over 7 innings last night. He didn't get a decision in a 3-2 home loss to the Yankees, but he's in the rotation. Got something for him. For David Price.
At the top of the clock, we're also going to be joined by the host of The Bottom Line, and that's what it's called, Sunday mornings on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the show, the first show of the season kicks off. Jory Mittelstadt, the host of that show, will join us to talk about some NFL. And you and I are watching a repeat of the Rams and Packers on the NFL Network. Green Bay, to me, could be a team that is completely flying under the radar in the NFC. And if they can get some sort of defense, their defense was so bad last season. If somehow, some way, Mike McCarthy can get that defense playing decent, I think the Packers are a team you can definitely got to watch out for in the NFC.
Yeah, it's a winnable division certainly, and you would look at them and say that you got as great a chance as anybody to win that division. I mean, who's going up against them? I mean,
but it can't.
Chicago?
Well, Chicago's got some weapons, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm not a believer.
Mark Trestman's got that offense firing, and if this isn't the Lions' year after falling apart like a cheap suit and missing the playoffs last season. The Lions have added some weapons, grabbing Golden Tate to play alongside Calvin Johnson.
I don't think they're in the same league as the Packers. I mean, technically they are.
And
technically
same division.
They're in the same division.
Right.
But, I mean, the Packers are one of the elite teams in the NFC.
And to me, this is a season for Matthew Stafford. Prove to me that you're better than just throwing to Calvin Johnson. Because Calvin Johnson's a freak. You can throw the ball to him anywhere. He can catch the ball. Let's see if you can get it to Golden Tate. Let's see. They drafted the tight end Eric Ebron. Let's see if you can get him the ball. Let's see what you're going to do with Reggie Bush and Joey Bell. I want to see what Matthew Stafford, is he going to jump into that elite category this season? Because the pressure's on the Lions. Because as I mentioned, they choked huge last season and missed the playoffs.
They could be a very fun team to watch.
A lot of offense.
But with the Lions, it's always the possibility that they could be terrible. Or they could just, like as you say, just fold like a cheap suit towards the end of a year.
Isn't it always
going to take a lot for me to be a believer of the Detroit Lions?
A right of your fall when you see the Thanksgiving Day game early and then the Lions get their ass kicked by whoever they're playing? Because it just feels like every year they just get beaten up on Thanksgiving.
That's when I feel like my belly is full on U.S. Thanksgiving. That's when I feel like all is right with the world.
You ever had turducken?
Huh?
Turducken.
Huh?
You don't know what turducken is?
Everybody know what turducken is?
Yes.
Or are you doing one of those things where you know about something that you know a lot of people don't know about and then act
all right,
like
it's an American delicacy consumed at Thanksgiving.
Was it turkey?
John
and
Madden,
duck?
It's turkey, duck, and chicken all into one.
That's disgusting.
Come on. How is that disgusting to you?
Is it covered in chocolate sauce?
No.
But no?
It's just one giant bird. And it's turducken. And John Madden used to be all about that.
Oh, that was the Madden thing? That's what Madden used to have the meat?
Come on, Sam.
Is that what he used to have the meat? It wasn't just a giant turkey?
Yeah. I think you should leave for this segment.
Turducken?
You should just step out for the rest of the segment after that.
I actually wouldn't mind. If I didn't get in trouble for doing that, I actually wouldn't mind.
It's 10:45 on Sportsnet. On the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, that's Jeff Sammet.
Forget where we are?
Yeah, I was almost at Sportsnet tonight.
No offense to John Molinaro.
No, John Molinaro, senior soccer writer for Sportsnet.ca, joining us now on the line. John, I'm sure you're one of those people who heard the Tim Lywicki news and said, uh-oh, Toronto FC. A dramatic pause as we wait for John Molinaro to answer that question.
John doesn't want to answer that question.
John, are you really broken up over Tim Lywicki that much? Oh, we'll try to reconnect with John Molinaro one sec. Nothing like awkward pauses. It's like one of my favorite things in life.
Actually, it wasn't awkward. I was rather enjoying it.
I was waiting.
He probably went to get some turducken.
It was one of those things you're on the cliff, or he was trying to watch Joe versus Volcano. You're on the cliff, and you're just waiting for him to answer, and then you fell over.
No.
Toronto FC and Tim Lywicki. Obviously, a team, and we had John Shannon on at the top of the show. We're at 10 o'clock saying, the team doesn't make any money. Can't make a penny off Toronto FC. Yeah, Tim Lywicki came here and wanted to make sure that this is a competitive team.
He made them relevant.
Oh, absolutely. And the amount of money he spent. And
there was starting to be some talk of, can this team survive? Like, we started remembering the Toronto Blizzard and saying, is the FC going to suffer the same fate?
Yeah.
Not even close to that conversation now.
John has a piece right now on Sportsnet. .ca talking about that first game in Seattle when the big guns like Defoe and Bradley delivered for Toronto FC in Seattle, and Lywicki was in the dressing room after high-fiving guys, and he was like a fan.
Yes.
Because he definitely wanted to see and have that feel of saying, yes, I can bring MLS, a championship brand of MLS soccer to Toronto. It's important for the brand because we know the first 7 years of this franchise, a tire fire of an organization, a laughing stock. Hopefully he's there this time. John Molinaro. John, we're just talking about your piece on Sportsnet.ca, talking about Tim Lywicki now leaving and what that means directly for Toronto FC. Were you one of those people who was like, uh-oh, Lywicki's leaving?
Yeah, I think, he's done a lot for Toronto FC. As I kind of wrote in my piece yesterday, he's really helped to turn this team from a laughingstock into a power. It convinced the MLS board to spend, millions of dollars on top players coming in. He's helped change the culture of the side. The team is now poised to make the playoffs for the first time in its history. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question that he's been, very good for TFC. And I think of all the MLSE's pro sports franchises, he probably left his mark the most on TFC. And I think they're the ones that are going to suffer the most, depending on who they get to replace him. If they can get a similar president and CEO of MLSE that kind of sticks to his vision and kind of does the kind of things that he does, then I think TFC will be in good shape. But it's a very big if.
TFC taking on Chicago tomorrow, a 7 o'clock start on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you can watch it on Sportsnet Ontario as well. And Chicago's not defeated, Toronto has not defeated Chicago since a 4-1 win back in May of 2010. That's a span of 9 games without a victory in the series. Hopefully better things for the Toronto FC against Chicago.
Yeah, you would hope so. Just Chicago's kind of having problems this year, not a very good side. TFC, sitting comfortably in third, but they've got some teams chasing them in the Eastern Conference for the playoff race. So, you know, this is a game that, you know, they should win. It would really go, you know, a long way to, you know, giving them some a little bit more breathing room potentially. It's not a make or break game. It's not a must win, but it is one of those games, as I said, that, you know, they should win.
That's dangerous when you talk about Toronto FC, John. Some big news out of Europe as well. Mario Balotelli making his way back to the Premier League and to Liverpool. When I heard the news, I was kind of taken aback a little bit. I thought Balotelli was fitting in like a glove in the city.
Yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, the move to AC Milan didn't sort of work out as well as I think a lot of people thought. You know, Milan is kind of struggling in the last couple of years, and he didn't really sort of do all that much to help him out. I think this is just a fresh start. I mean, this is, you know, Milan had a new coach installed in Filippo Inzaghi, and I get the sense that he didn't really rate Balotelli all that much, so he had to go. But this is a fresh start for Balotelli. I mean, he's got so much potential, and I don't think anyone doubts his skills as a player, but he's never quite lived up to his billing and his skill set. So, you know, at Liverpool, I think he'll be used as a key figure, and this is really an opportunity for him to, you know, to finally come good and finally live up to sort of the lofty expectations that we all have of him.
John, looking ahead to some of the action tomorrow from the EPL on Sportsnet. On Sportsnet Ontario, 7:30, it's Villa against Newcastle. And then we got Chelsea against Leicester City at 9:30. Is Chelsea, to you, the odds-on favorite to win the Premier League this season?
I think they're one of the favorites. I mean, I still like Manchester City, you know, the defending champions. I really like what they've done in locking up a lot of their key players. You know, they've signed guys like Deco and Aguero and Yaya Toure to sort of contract extensions. Those are core kind of key players to their success, you know, key players that helped them win the title two of the last 3 years. So, you know, the fact that they've done that and brought in some new players as well, I don't think you can discount Manchester City. I think it's their title to lose as far as I'm concerned.
John Molinaro, Sportsnet.ca. Thanks, John.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Straight ahead on the show, we talk about the other football, the National Football League. The host of The Bottom Line is the first show of the season, kicks off this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, along with Randall the Handle. Jory Mittelstadt will join us, and Kent Summers, Cardinals beat writer for the Arizona Republic, a team a lot of people pitted as a dark horse this season in the NFC, but some debilitating injuries, especially on the defensive side of things. We'll see how the Cardinals will shore that up as well. That's all straight ahead on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.